Turn to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. And this message takes up basically where we left off last week, talking about walking after the Spirit. Now, the title is Triumphing in the Christian Life. Begin reading in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11, one of my one of the first passages I remember reading before I was saved, and what an impact it made upon me. But he says in verse 28, Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, what I'm about to say is going to be a surprise to some of you, maybe all of you. But I believe it's something valuable. I believe it's something that can help you in your walk with the Lord. And that is, y'all need to stop trying to live the Christian life. Now, before you call for a vote of confidence, listen to me. But it's true. We need to stop. Because you can't do it. It's not possible. You can't do it in and of yourself. No matter how hard you work at it, you're going to fail. Because it's not for us to do. God never intended you to live the Christian life. He said, "Come unto me," here in this passage. "I'll give you rest." We're to rest from our works, and we're to rest in Him. We're to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, as we looked at from Romans chapter 8 last week. But too often times, we're uptight, we're worn out, we're just frantically running around with no real idea where we're going or what we're doing, without any peace, without any joy, without rest, because we're trying to do it ourselves. Look at a couple of verses out of the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, let's begin with that. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking here, and he says this in verse 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Lord says, "I want something special for you." You know, it's more than just eternity. That's great. And if that's all we had to look forward to, that would be enough. But that's not all the Lord desires for us. He wants this to be an abundant life for each and every one of us. Look at chapter 15 of John. Chapter 15 of verse 11. These verse chapters here, 14, 15, and 16, are where the Lord's got the disciples pulled away from the crowds as he's about to be betrayed. I mean, he's just a day or two away from the betrayal and crucifixion when he speaks these words of these three chapters to the disciples. And he says this in chapter 15 and verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Abundant life, a fullness of joy, is what the Lord wants for us. The last song we sang this morning, "Higher Ground." That's what God wants for each and every one of us. One more, chapter 17. After he finishes those three chapters, then is this prayer that Jesus Christ made just ahead of his betrayal. Chapter 17 and verse 13, he says this, "And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." That's what God wants of us. This is triumphing in the Christian life. Not just making it through. Not just enduring to the end. But living it victoriously. For the glory of God. Three things I want us to consider about this. As he started out in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me. We must come to him. We must seek him. He beckons us to come. We did that for salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See how the Holy Ghost is coming back into that thing there? It's not our works. It's his mercy he saved us. And the Holy Ghost renews us to be able to live this Christian life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My salvation, all about my salvation, is nothing to do with me and everything to do what he has done for me. I simply receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One more, go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You see, if there's something I'm doing to gain my salvation or to keep my salvation, that's not a grace. That's saying that God now is indebted to me because I've done something that he has to repay me for. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I am righteous before God because of what he did for me. As it said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with him, not because of me, because of what he did to me. You got to come to him. I can't save myself. Go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, but that by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. That's your condition before you're saved, without Jesus Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care how devout a Muslim someone is, how devout a Jehovah Witness, how devout a Mormon, how devout a member of the Baha'i faith, whatever you want to say, there's no hope for that individual outside of Jesus Christ. None. It's not many roads that lead to the same place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. One means without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We got to come to Him. That's where our salvation is through Him. But folks, it doesn't just apply to salvation. It's not a matter of, well, now you're saved. See you in eternity. That's just the beginning. And man, this life can be tough at times. And there's only one way we can get through it victoriously. And it's not of me or you. It's Him. We need to come to Him, not just for salvation, but to live the Christian life. He said again in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a job to do. No, I'll give you rest. And if you're worn out, if you're just at your wit's end, it's because you've not entered into that rest that the Lord has for you. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you got saved by trusting in Him, but now you're trusting in yourself to carry on from there. And He says, no, I want to give you rest. I want you to have abundant life. I want my joy to remain in you and your joy to be full. Rest in Him. Galatians chapter 3. And I think too many times Christians either don't understand or don't adhere to this. Here's Paul writing to these believers, and the problem was in the city of Galatia, or the region of Galatia, that there were Jews there that were trying to make the Gentiles adhere to the Old Testament law. And that's throughout the whole book, that's what Paul's arguing. Stop! You can't do it! As we talked about last week, the law isn't to make you righteous. The law is to prove to you how unrighteous you are and how in need of the cross you are, of what Jesus Christ did for you. So here he says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians! You that are trying to live by the law, to try to do the deeds of the law to be righteous, you're foolish. Who hath bewitched you? Not only foolish, but somebody has bewitched you to take you away from the truth, to lean upon yourself instead of leaning upon God. That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That's what Paul preached. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation, for the triumphant Christian life. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, folks, answer me this. How'd you get the Spirit? The answer is by faith, right? You didn't work for it. You believed in Jesus Christ to receive the Spirit of God. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's where you began. You entered into that gift. You received that gift and entered into that salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And He gave you the Spirit. So why are you going back to trusting in your flesh? We need to rest in His Spirit. You begin right, resting in Him for salvation, but revert to relying upon our flesh to live too oftentimes. We're burdened with rules, regulations, believing that somehow our wicked and sinful flesh is going to be of some kind of benefit and help in living the Christian life. Your flesh is not an ally. It's an enemy. Look at Romans chapter 7. This is a very interesting chapter, and we'll just look at one verse here, but Paul argues about the struggle that he himself has, knowing he's not perfect, the struggle that he has with sin constantly. And where is that? Because of the flesh. But look what he says in verse 18 of Romans 7. For I know that in me, this is Paul speaking, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which I would, I find not. So Paul said. And then he goes on and describes that. I want to do good, and I find that I'm doing evil. I don't want to do evil, or just that conflict constantly. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. This is my biggest problem. And I'm speaking personally now. This is my biggest problem in serving God. This gets in the way all the time. And I need to reckon myself dead to this and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Look at chapter 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to read this whole chapter, actually. But I think we need to see this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us there, or not the whole chapter, down to verse 10, I'm sorry. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. God's got a promise, he says. But we don't cash it in. We fall short of the promise that God has for us. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This book is full of promises. But as long as this is closed on the shelf or on the coffee table, doesn't do you a bit of good. You got to open it up. You got to find the promises. Then you got to believe them. Mixed with faith in them that heard it. You got to respond, act upon the promises that are there. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Enter into the rest that the Lord has promised to us. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, that they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. That's the stumbling point. We just don't believe what God has said. Verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. 6 days God created. The seventh day he rested. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's the triumphant Christian life. Resting in him, resting on his promises, resting in all that God wants to do for us and through us. But you got to come to him. We must continue as we began. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And he talks in this chapter about the vine. That vine, you know, as the trees are beginning to bloom and blossom, the green's all coming out on and everything, and the fruit's starting to form there. That fruit only is produced by abiding in the vine. As a child of God, the only way my life is going to be productive and useful to God is by me abiding in him. I can't do it myself. Without him, I can do nothing. I got to rest in him. I got to abide in him. I've got to draw it from him. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writes to the believers at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't quit. He says you can be confident of this thing, that what God has begun to do in you, God is going to continue to do in you and through you. Our trouble is believing and surrendering. Ceasing from our own works, as Hebrews said, and resting in what God wants to do through us. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Back again to the people of Galatia, Paul writes, verse 20 of Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to myself. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. By his faith. As I'm crucified to Christ, and I allow him to live his life through me. That's walking after the Spirit. Being yielded to God, letting him work through me to accomplish his purposes and his will in my life. We need to rest in him. Come to him, rest in him, and finally, you must be in a yoke with him. Look at Galatians 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That is my heart, my mind, my entire being, surrendered to God, attentive to God's promptings and directings of my life. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is that conflict, see, that Paul talked about in Romans 7. I want to do good, and I end up doing evil. Because it's that wretched man that I am. Because it in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I've got to die to that. You look at the life of Jesus Christ. The 33 and a half years he walked this earth. It says, in Hebrews it says, he was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. He understood what it's like to be hungry. He understood the pain, both physical as well as emotional. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. What's the occasion of that? He's come at the pleading of Mary and Martha because Lazarus is sick. And he gets there and Lazarus has died. And when he sees the grief that they're experiencing, he weeps with them. Those weren't just fake tears. He shared their grief. He bore their sorrow as he does all of ours. He experienced the entire realm of human possibility in those 33 and a half years. In all times, in all ways tempted like as we, yet without sin. Because he kept his flesh in subjection. He did not let his flesh dictate what he did. That's what we need to do. Surrendered to him. Dying to ourselves. Temptation's going to come, folks. You'll face it on a daily basis. You've got a choice. Do I give in to what my flesh wants to do, which I know doesn't please God, or to deny myself and yield to I know what God wants? That's the choice. It's as simple as that. It's not always as simple to perform, but that's it. But the problem is those temptations keep coming, and those temptations keep coming. And they come when we're at our weakest. And we still got to deny ourselves and walk after the Spirit. We must be in the yoke with him. He says, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You can't do it. You've got to be surrendered to him, resting in him. It's up to him and not us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Again, Paul's writing that. That's what Paul said. It's not me. Paul was a highly educated man. He was a very disciplined man. But he said, the sufficiency is not of me. It's him. And I rest in him and who he is and what he can do. Go back to John 15. John chapter 15. Before we read this, you think again about Matthew chapter 11. Now come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, God wants us to take his yoke. Our trouble is We don't want to give up ours. And we're trying to go through life with two yokes. This is what I want to do, but I also want to please God. You can't do it. You got to choose one. We've got to take His yoke. Here's what I want you to do, God says. And you know, in an individual basis, I can't tell you what that is. You've got to learn to listen to God yourself. You've got to get alone with Him and get sensitive to the promptings and the working of the Spirit in your own life. I can't teach that. You've got to learn that on your own through study and prayer and learning what that still small voice sounds like. And not grieving the Spirit when He prompts you to do something by not doing it. Listen to that voice. John chapter 15, Jesus in verse 1 says this, I am the true vine, my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, not fruit, is taken, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God works in our life to make us more productive. Gary and I were talking about tomato plants this morning, and you clip off the lower limbs of those things, and you pick off some of the buds to try to make those things more productive. So I'd say, what are you? You're hurting that plant. Well, I haven't heard it scream yet. Some people say they do, but it makes it more productive. But there's that cutting back process, that pruning process in all of plants that makes them more productive. And the Lord takes that analogy and applies it to us. You know what? There's some things in your life that need to, the pruning shears need to be taken to. Because they're hindering. They're yokes that God doesn't intend for you to try to carry. That's why you don't have rest. That's why you don't have peace and joy. Because you've not surrendered to His yoke, giving up your own. And you can't juggle both of them. Again, verses 4 and 5, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Did you notice the progress in these verses? You start out with fruit. Then he said, through the pruning process, there's more fruit. And then he says, as you abide in me and I in you, much fruit. That's what God wants. For us surrendered to Him to produce fruit in us. And he talks later about our fruit remaining. Fruit that's going to last for eternity by yielding to Him. Look over at Luke chapter 10. I think this is a good illustration of the conflict between the Lord's yoke and our yoke. Luke chapter 10 is a story of Martha, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Look, Lord, can't you see I got all this stuff to do and Mary's just sitting there in front of you doing nothing. I need help. She did. But she didn't realize what help she needed. But the Lord's about to give that to her. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Notice the tenderness in that response. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You got your yoke, Martha. You're carrying your own yoke. And you're ignoring the yoke that I've got for you. But one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You need to be sitting here, Martha, like Mary is. Don't worry about the dishes. Don't worry about the clutter in the kitchen. Don't worry about the food laying around. Just sit and listen. This is my yoke for you right now. That's where you find rest. She was cumbered about many things. Walking after the flesh. The Lord says you need to walk after the Spirit. To listen to what's important, to attend to what's most important at the moment. What's God's desire of each of you this morning? Which yoke are you wearing this morning? The Lord's or yours? And it's easy to determine it. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. The difference is fruit or works. If we've not ceased from our own works, there's something that's going to be produced. He said here in verse 16 again of Galatians 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now watch this. The works of the flesh. So if you're being led by the flesh, if you're resting on the works of the flesh, here's how to find out. Are these things manifesting themselves in your life? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You might say, well, I don't see anything of those in my life. Hopefully that's true. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. It's not a complete list. It goes on and on and on. But those types of things will manifest themselves in your life if you're walking after the flesh. And there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no rest when those things are being manifest in our life. The envies, the wrath, strife. How oftentimes those enter in? That should cause the alarm bells to go off. Uh-oh. That's the flesh in control. But now look at this verse. These are works again. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm walking after the Spirit, here's the evidence. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against which such there is no law. That's the evidence that I'm walking after the Spirit. And again, look at the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's not a one of us, I don't think, that could even come close to enduring what he endured. You take somebody putting something over your head and beginning to beat you, strike you with a rod as well as their fists. Then take that cat of nine tails and begin to rip your flesh from your body with it. And he never opened his mouth against them. I've responded angrily under much less severe situations. But see, Jesus Christ wasn't led by his flesh. He had the fruit of the Spirit. He says, it's finished. I came here to do what I came to do. Or I did what I came here to do. I accomplished my purpose. I have given my life. I have taken the suffering to deliver these people who are doing this to me. That's love. The fruit of the Spirit. And he says in verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified with flesh, with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to rest in him. He wants us to learn of him. And he wants us to take his yoke upon us to be able to walk in the Spirit. He wants an empty vessel that he can fill and work through. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us. God, help us to overcome the temptations of our flesh. The desire for our yoke along with yours. God, I pray that you'll help each of us to strive to let your Spirit have control of our lives, that we can walk after your Spirit, not after our flesh. God, you know the need of each and every individual here. You know the struggles that each one is going through. The particular temptations which we are most susceptible to. God, help us to lay aside those weights and those sins which so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at your right hand. God, help us to labor faithfully till that day when we stand before you, and that we may hear from your lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God, speak to the hearts as you see the need this morning. If there's someone here that's never made that first response and trusted you as their Lord and Savior, may they understand the need to completely trust you, not church membership, not baptism, not their good works, nothing but Jesus Christ and him alone as a means of their salvation. God, if there's one here this morning, bring them this day to trust in you and receive you. And God, for each of us that struggle on a daily basis against our flesh, help us to be more victorious. Help us to have that peace that passes all understanding, that fullness of joy that you desire for each of us, the abundant life, the rest that you've made available to us. We thank and praise you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.